She discovers that at Anil Kesh, and she revels in it. Master Dampowell shows her the way. The Cathar Temple Master has taught at Anil Kesh for 16 years, and at the end of their first long night of discussion, she tells Lannery that she has the potential to be her greatest pupil. "Do you say that to everyone?" Lannery asks, proud but suspicious.
"I've said it to no one before," Dampowell replies.
Over the next few days, the studies begin, and Lannery is amazed. She immerses herself in Dan Powell's instruction, and in doing so, her troubles with Dale fade away. They don't disappear completely. There is always a shadow and a sense of impending change in her life. But she sleeps better than she has since leaving home, feels happier, and realizes that her mind has always been too focused on her brother. Dan Powell makes her understand that this is her great journey as well. And though Lannery cannot give up on Dale, for the first time, she places herself before him. With the chasm beneath them, Anil Kesh has a different feel from all the other temples. Every moment there is rich, filled with potential, and edged with a sense of danger. Lannery has never felt so alive. It is as if the cells of her body are charged, her mind on fire. When she mentions this, Dan Powell smiles and nods.
"We balance on the precipice of knowledge," she says. "The unknown lies below us, always threatening to draw us down or rise up and swallow us. The force is charged and powerful here. Anyone familiar can feel and sense it, but if you're powerful with the force..." She grimaces and presses a fist to her forehead. "Sometimes it hurts, but it's a hurt worth weathering."
Dan Powell introduces her to sciences that Lannery has only ever heard or read about. She knows of Jedi who are disturbed by some of what occurs at Anil Kesh, but she listens to the Master wide-eyed and with an open mind. She finds plenty to concern her, but so much more that fascinates. She's aware of Dan Powell's watching her carefully, taking stock. She is eager to please. In the storage pens in one of the temple's supporting arms are the altered animals. Taken from the Abyss of Rhu, a dangerous place deep in the rift 600 kilometers to the east, these strange and fearsome creatures have been genetically manipulated using the Force to serve the Jedi. Lannery is amazed at the changes in them. None are hurt or damaged, and it's as if their alterations are the true wish of evolution. Dan Powell takes her through a network of laboratories. In one, weapons are altered and adapted using force-driven metallurgy. In another, weapons specific to the Force are being tested. Chemicals are changed and transmuted. Solids have their structures reformed. And the wild power of the chasm beneath them is harnessed in thick-walled compounds, dancing and flashing, striking and snapping like a living thing. It is in the last room that Dan Powell shows her that Lannery knows her future lies. "The talents needed for this are deep," the Jedi Master says. "The risks great, but the rewards are huge. I'm going to teach you." Lannery stares at the two Jedi in the center of the room. Before each of them is a shape. Something that should not live, yet it flexes and breathes. A thing that should not be, yet here it is.
"Wrought from their own flesh and blood," Dan Powell says, "and nurtured using the Force."
Lannery is terrified and thrilled. She has heard of this, but never thought it was true. Never suspected she would see it for herself.
"The alchemy of flesh," she whispers.
Despite her fear, she is eager to begin.
"Tell me you can get us out of here,"
Tree's voice. His urgency pulled her quickly back to her senses. That and the stench of sewage and death. Everything ached, and in a few places she hurt terribly. Her head still throbbed as if someone were jumping up and down on it. She smelled blood and knew it was her own. But Tree was far from gentle as he grabbed her beneath the armpits and tried to haul her upright. Lannery shoved him back and sent him stumbling into the shattered table. She looked around and tried to take stock. It looked bad. The Cathar Stargazer had exploded his suicide vest, demolishing the wall and bringing down most of the ceiling. The doorway was blocked by torn metal and smashed stone, and fractured rock had fallen behind it. The rest of the ceiling was spattered with his blood, a great swath of it burned black by the bomb's fire flash. The remainder of the large room was a mess. Scientists' bodies scattered from the corner where they'd been massacred. Tools and components everywhere. The large central table ruptured and splintered. If she hadn't pulled Tree behind there with her, they'd have both died. There was a wide crack in one wall, and through this seeped a steady stream of effluent. A pipe or chute had been ruptured somewhere, and the leak was speeding up rather than slowing down. "Look," Tree said, pointing. "Another door there!" He was almost shouting, and blood ran from his ears. Lannery also heard the fading whine from her tortured eardrums, but that was the least of her worries. "That Cathar's bomb can't have done that," she said, pointing at the rent in the wall. It was on the opposite side of the room from the doorway the explosion had blocked. "There was another explosion when I was trying to wake you," Tree said. "Far away! Up there! To feel it down here, it must have been big! What's happening? What have we started?" "A war! And Dale started it! Come on, we've got to stop him leaving Greenwood Station!"
"I feel sick," Tree said. "It stinks! My head hurts! I think my skull might be..."
"I'll break it myself," Lannery said. "Come on! Help me with this door!" She searched the room for her sword, knowing she would not find it, mourning its loss. Tem Madog himself had forged that sword for her. She'd rather have lost an arm. Perhaps it had been dropped somewhere beyond that blocked doorway. Or maybe Dale had taken it with him. They tried the door, but it was electronically locked.
"Cover your ears," Lannery said.
She concentrated on the lock and force-shoved, crushing the mechanism and shorting the circuits. The door slid open, and a flood of sewage washed in around their feet. She and Tree clasped hands to keep their balance.
The thought of falling into that mess.
When the levels of filth had equalized, they left the room and emerged into one of Pan Deep's corridors. It was long and empty, and several other doors led off it. They were all closed, marked only with laboratory numbers, and Lannery had no wish to open them. Soft, reactive lighting glowed behind ceiling panels, and on the walls were touch panels, 3D holo screens, and several indentations that might have housed implement printers. This was advanced tech for a place so hidden away.